I mean, this isn't necessarily a Black haircare brand, but like when you look at the Black haircare space, like at a Target aisle or whatever it is, the coats become very apparent. Like there's a reason why we're going very sophisticated, very mystique, and very prestigious.
All right, today's episode on packaging a box is a little bit different. I'm trying something new. I've asked a few people to come on and co-host with me, talk through design, break down existing packaging, and help understand how to design packaging and how brands are thinking, what they're writing, what they're using, materials, good decisions, bad decisions, and first reactions. In this episode, we've got Lynette Lee, who's the principal at Comet Chaser. She's worked a ton of brands, ton of agencies, done some amazing work, and she's got a great strategic perspective. We're looking at it holistically and sharing our first reactions. What I'd love for you to do is leave me a note in the comments whether you like this type of episode, if this is helpful, if you disagree or agree with the perspectives shared on here. We also don't have a lot of time in this episode to talk about Lynette herself. We'll do that in a future episode where we break where she's worked, what she's done, and just give you a sense of who she is. We'll continue to do interviews. We'll still be doing our Monday Packaging Today show. Then we'll also be releasing the interview shows in the middle of the week and then trying to do this type of show on Fridays. It's a little bit shorter. It's a little bit more focused. Do me a favor, subscribe, leave me a review, and let's get to the show. Today, we've got Lynette Lee. Let's talk about Cicred. Let's talk about this brand that Beyonce just launched. It's all over the news. We're seeing all sorts of designs coming out of it, but what is it? You know, what are we looking
what
at?
Is it? I mean, that's a great question, right? Because so the reason why I even found out about it is my students were like, hey, like, look at this new brand. And I like, you know, we checked it out and it took us like a while to figure out how to pronounce the brand name. And you're like, oh, it's Beyonce's like hair care brand. And you're like, okay, like here's another celebrity creating another hair care brand in the Black hair care space. And like at this point, right, like I think it's a good couple years in, like there's just been so many people saturating the space, right? There's Tracee Ellis Ross with Pattern. There's Gabrielle Union with her brands, right? There's Issa Rae has a brand as well. So it's just like everyone's coming to space and it's like, okay, Beyonce, like you're here. We see you, but like, what is this brand that you've made? And it does feel very kind of superficial and just very light. There's not a lot of substance behind this brand. I see what they're trying to do. Does it have like longevity? Is it going to be sticky? Is it going to command loyalty with a capital L? Like, doubtful in my mind because there's no inspired vibe behind it.
All right. So what is Cicred as a product category? Like, what is it and where does it fit?
So as a product category, they are saying that they are I don't even know. It's almost like they're loosely implying they're a Black hair care brand, but not necessarily just for Black consumers, right? Because like even on their site, they go, our sacred approach, our hair is sacred, right? It's like no matter the type of hair type or texture, you deserve products that are safe and effective. And like even from that sentence, that is like literally the first sentence in a paragraph of like what Cicred is about on a product level, like that literally says nothing, right? No matter the hair type or texture, you deserve products that are safe and effective. You're like, yes, we deserve products that are safe and effective. And that was news 15, 20. Yeah. Like, of course we do, right? It's like, did you miss the green movements and like the chemical movement? Of course, right? So it's not really saying anything.
Yeah. So far, nothing's sacred.
Nothing is sacred, right? So like when you see a good brand, right, it has a very specific persona and you still have a specific point of view. Like I like to say, it's like if you're for everyone, you're for no one. It's not to say that your products and your services can't be for everyone. But when you come out of the gate and you're like, I am for everyone. When you think of everyone, like what do you imagine?
I picture my grandma. I picture my kids.
Like, it's just kind of like a bunch of
it's like nothing.
People.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, that's exactly the idea of everyone. Right. And like, that's exactly why it's bad because there's not a sticky visual feeling that's pulling you in. So, what they're trying to do is they're trying to like kind of like go sacred beginnings, right? Like, we're sacred, our hair is sacred. The packaging is very minimalistic. It's very sculptural. Mm. Like the texture of it almost looks like it comes from a sculpture, right? Like they're trying to like pull in this like mythology, sacred rituals, ancient times theme to kind of prove credibility and efficacy, right? But you're like, what does it really have to do with anything? Like, what does it have to do with Beyonce? What does that have to do with their story? What does that have to do with this brand? Right? There's a lot of holes here.
I'm just reacting to just the web, right? So go to the website, secret.com, secret, sacred. Secret.
It could be both. C-R-E-D, right?
It could be secret or sacred.
Yeah.
The main image on the homepage. One, again, that site's not working at every scale, which is kind of weird. But that main image on the homepage makes me think of Yeezy. I get like,
what does it make you think of?
Of Yeezy.
Yes.
And I think it's because the tone of the product, the tone of the hair, the tone, the skin tone, the nails are all like this monotone. And that's kind of part of what Kanye's done. And his fashion launch is like, he'll tie the color of the skin to the color of the garment. Creates like this really beautiful silhouette in terms of just lack of contrast. And I'm getting that in here too, but it's nothing's like standing out.
Nope. It's also like, is this right for this brand? Like, yes, let's say like it's a very cool image, but like branding, like at the end of the day, like it's a business and you're trying to drive something. It's you're trying to sell, right? It's not like an art piece. And like even here, it's like it's very white. And it's also like, are you ever going to be using a product in this way?
Well, that was my first thing was like, holy crap. Like they've got this killer lid. You have to take the lid off and you dump your shampoo on your, like who the hell uses shampoo like that?
Like, no, first of all, no. Second of all, like this hair looks like right after I bleach my hair and like I'm going through breakage. Like this looks like the hair is very delicate and does not look strong at all, right? Yeah. I mean, it does break a lot of category cones, which is good, but not in a good, effective way. Like this is not the way to the zip where the people are zagging, right?
Yeah. And I'm looking at like where the water's pouring out of the bottle because that can't be shampoo. And just how thin that plastic is makes me feel like this bottle's going to be really soft.
Yeah. And then like the quality of the plastic makes you think the quality of the goop inside is not going to be great, right? It's like you're also looking for, usually with you know you have to think about the goop and then viscosity and everything with the goop as well. It says something. Yeah. So like for example, like you don't actually need suds to clean anything, but we like suds because it makes us feel like it's actively working, right? Like if this is about like repair and moisturization and nourishing, we usually expect a thick cream to do that. So like if it's not, then I'm going to want an explanation for that. And where I'm going to expect the explanation is probably on the product detail page. And, they probably do not have.
Kicking off with this image, it's not great. Yeah. It feels like, one, the shampoo inside is like just water, like liquid, right? There's no viscosity to it. And I've got cheap packaging and, bad hair.
Yeah, I think it is so actually, interesting enough, if you click through to shop now, it takes you to, it's the whole ritual, which is the fermented rice and rose protein ritual. So this is a treatment. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't need to necessarily be as thick as a shampoo, right? But it is very confusing when you kind of click shop now, when you look at this product, I expect to just go to that product, right? So it just takes you to a whole set of things.
But then, the thing is like, is that what they're showing, right? Because you go to the shop.
Right, and then you're also not, to your point, it's like, where's the bottle we were seeing on the homepage? It's not even there. I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, because there's like the hydrating shampoo, which is a similar bottle, just has a different lid. And that lid is, I mean, honestly, from a packaging perspective, that lid is kind of cool. It's that bowl shape, and then you have to snap the top, and then it actually pops up. It's like a squeeze bottle. So you will, you do see that, a picture of the cream there. And then if you go to like the clarifying shampoo and salt scrub, that has a different type of a lid. So that bowl lid actually pops off, and then there's a squeeze bottle underneath there.
It's awesome.
There's a lot of stuff. Do I use this in the shower? Does that mean that I have to take a lid off in the shower? Like who does that?
So shampoo doesn't look like deep conditioner. Maybe. I mean, like, sometimes you use a deep conditioner before you get in the shower, so you don't mind that as much. I personally prefer a pump, right? Because it's easy to, I don't have, it doesn't require a two-hand process, for example, when it comes to shampoo. But like, we have to make better decisions with sustainability when it comes to, you can probably weigh in more on that than I can, right? From a pump perspective.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely challenges in there from a branding perspective, right? We've got naming isn't clear.
No.
Then it's a celebrity brand. There's no tie back to the celebrity.
It's barely, right? It's like she grew up in her mother's hair salon and somehow we're in hair, and you're like, okay.
But I can challenge that by, The Rock did a tequila brand. George Clooney did a tequila brand that sold for $1 billion. I think like once people started seeing these celebrity products like actually going to market, growing, and then selling for $1 billion plus, every celebrity's like, oh, I got to get into the product
Of
game.
course, that's what celebrities are doing nowadays. But also at the same time, right? Like when we look at tequila or we look at just liquor in general, liquor is one of the easiest things to brand in the world. Like it's all about lifestyle, right? And it's like not necessarily about efficacy, right? It's like, does it get me drunk? Does it do what I expect liquor to do? Do I have a good time on it? Probably yes. When it comes to beauty and it comes to hair, and it especially when it comes to, like we were kind of talking about before, my beauty priorities are my skin. Skincare is responsible. My face is my responsibility. Once I've taken care of my face, hair is next, right? It's like a way a woman's self-esteem is affected by her hair is massive. So I need this to be credible. I need this product to work. We're not fucking around here, right? So like for Beyoncé to be like, it's been my lifelong dream to create these hair care products and bring some of my mother's teaching to life. It's like we started by prioritizing the needs of textured hair like mine, others who lack moisture and strength. And it's like, what teachings are you bringing to life? Like what gives you credibility to create products for my hair? Right? It's like we're also prioritizing the needs of textured hair like mine. Like her texture hair, at least the way it's being shown, and then even all the hair that's being shown like on the homepage, like it's not necessarily natural hair, right? From a black perspective. So like it's not even the far end of the extreme spectrum of hair needs that are not being met, right? So you don't even have that story to being told, right? Like you have lots of different products and lots of different brands fulfilling the unmet need. So she really does like this does not have a strong connection, strong reason to believe in founder credibility. Which then you also they're trying to what they're trying to do is like they're trying to offset that credibility by the science. There's a whole science tab there. There's a lot of their social campaigns that are like, a scientist in a white lab coat that's like, let me wash your hair, like to give it more credibility and more efficacy here. They try to do a lot of education in that sense to kind of make up for it, but it's still very puny and very light in that way. It's a brand that's made of a house of cards at this point, from my point of view.
And all right, so as a guy that like buzzes my own hair, like uses very little product, I don't know the space. So, but what I have seen, not what I know, what I've seen is that typically you'll have, hair care for this type of hair, right? And it's like really specific, and it's trying to get granular in terms of like, okay, this is my shampoo brand because this is the type of hair that I have. With this one, it is for everybody, right? So just even on the science page, like the first video that shows up is you've got super straight blonde hair, you've got slightly wavy red hair, you've got hair that's being brushed out and like flat ironed, and you're seeing all these different processes for different types of hair from different types of people, and there's only four products. So is this for everybody?
I mean, sure, technically, yes, right? Like what they're trying to do is they're trying to play out of Olaplex's and K18's playbook, right? And it's because like they came from a treatment perspective. They like have really, really great treatments and it's for damaged hair. So in that sense, right, like it is for everyone, but like there's reasons why, like when you look at like a Briogeo, for example, there's a reason why, like, you know, there's like pig products specifically for curly hair. Mm-hmm. Like, there's also a reason why there's like specific like curly hair salons and curly hair stylists, because they have different needs. Or like literally, like when I worked on Super Zero, for example, which is one of my clients, they're like solid hair care shampoo and conditioner, and they're really great. It's just like learning about, so for example, like I'm Asian, so like I actually have, my hair is like really, really straight, right? So like I actually have one of the strongest hair in the world, right? Because it is straight, and because like sebum actually develops, like their natural oils protecting the cover of your scalp. And like, because my hair is really straight, the oil has a really easy time sliding down the strands of my hair, and it's more naturally protective and moisturizing oil and all that kind of stuff. As you get more curly, right? Like when we move up the hair spectrum, it's harder for your oils to do that, right? And then because like your hair is naturally curly, the actual pores in your scalp is slanted. Mine are straight, and that's why my hair grows out straight. Like, you know, for other people, like it's, so like because your hair is curly and it has natural bends in it, you naturally have more breakage. It's naturally more fragile. So like when I speak to like hair care or Black consumers, for example, that have like really like kinky hair, they go, I have to pay attention to the different textures I wear in the winter. Like I can't really wear scarves and cashmere and all that kind of stuff. It gets stuck in there, and then it damages even more. So like there's such a different range of hair types from the basic foundation, right? And then like our needs are different from there. Right. It's like I dye my hair I put my hair through so much. I ask for it to do so much all the time. Yeah. Right. Like I have very different needs from someone else. So like for you to think that you can create one product with almost like no reasons to believe from an ingredient or a founder celebrity backing perspective, like you don't even necessarily have a convincing product proposition, much less a brand proposition at this point.
And then from a packaging standpoint, you're not really telling any story.
You're doing like high end art, right? Which is like on brand for like, you know, Beyonce, for example. But other than that, like I'm not getting much from you. It's like a very superficial aesthetic. You're like, okay, this is nice.
But is it though? Because even Beyonce, like Beyonce's super dynamic, right? She's a big, bold personality.
True.
This is neither of those things, right? It's neither dynamic nor big and nor bold. It's really, really subdued. One color, deboss, tiny deboss as well. I think the only thing that's happening is like the texture on that bottle, which. Okay. When you add texture to something, it's like it should be communicating something. So it feels like it's, maybe this is for textured hair, but it's not, because it's for everybody.
Right. Yeah.
Right. So that's like a disconnect from a
pack. You're almost giving the texture of the packaging too much credit. You're like, oh, maybe the texture of the packaging is like for no.
Yeah, no, this is it. Yeah. It's just different. It's just different. And then like, you know, will that, if we're selling a product, will a bland colored bottle with no big bold color that's standing out, like, is it actually going to stand out on shelf? Like, I think it's the same colored plastic as like a Pantene. You know, Pantene has kind of like the ivory-ish looking color.
Well, I wouldn't be so mean to it to knock it down to the Pantene level, right?
Like, not saying that it's on the Pantene level, but it's on the similar color to a Pantene
color palette. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Yes.
So that challenge is,
right,
you know, how's it going to stand off a shelf?
It's good. I mean, it's going to stand out on shelf in different ways. Like, you know, from a sculptor perspective, mm-hmm. from a shape perspective, like if you aspire to be more of that minimalistic, sophisticated, artsy, worldly person, mm-hmm. it's going to draw you in, right? Like I'm going to like look at it because it is so minimal and it's so beautiful from its shape perspective for sure. And that's good. It does different things, right? I had another point, but I forgot it. I was like, yeah.
No, but we previously.
Oh, I think that Sacred will be one of those brands that you go looking for it, right? Like it could be like it could stand out from like more of its passiveness. It doesn't need to scream in that way in a sea of everything, right? Like it also thinking about like. I mean, this isn't necessarily a Black hair care brand, but like when you look at the Black their first space, like at a Target aisle or whatever it is, the coats become very apparent. Like, there's a reason why we're going very sophisticated, very mystique, and very prestigious. Is when you think about your traditional Black beauty brands, you know, where they've been kind of like forced to go, when you look at Shea Moisture, well, like when you look at that look, it's one of the ugliest logos in the world. Like, I hate the packaging is so ugly and the font is so bad, but it's rough. And it's almost like, that I would say is a subconscious nod. Not a great one, right? But it's like rough hair care texture means you get a rough, you know, kind of unsophisticated typeface. And that's really a disservice. You know, it's a commentary to where we were as society. So like we're almost swinging this other way to like prove this point. And you're like, okay, like it's been proven. There's sophisticated Black brands out there. Now give us more. You know, this is a very clear that like they did a deal and she was like, seemed good enough and like bim, bam, doom, done, right? Like she was not involved. This is not one of her music videos or her albums by any means.
All right. So as we kind of start wrapping up on Beyonce's Sacred, you know, I look at like Rihanna's Fenty, good right? Lord. Like that brand, that packaging is so on brand for her, right? It's not, you know, it's not her, you know, her name's not blared all over it. Obviously there's a correlation to Fenty and Rihanna, but you know, you're getting sharp angles, you're getting great color. There's like a lot of movement. All the packaging kind of comes together and it tells like this big, bold story and stands out against all the competitors. And then, you know, it went into clothing and kind of came back to beauty. Like that is a really well done brand, regardless of Black or white. It's just so well thought out. And that team is amazing in what they're doing. This one, you know, it feels like it's lacking. I'm going to guess that there's going to be a rebrand or redesign in the next 12 months.
I don't even think the brand is going to make it. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not convinced this product is, like, I'm not even from principle or product perspective, this is great, right? So, like, it might just fold and die.
Oh, see, I can't imagine it. I can see it from a financial standpoint, you know, not working out. But when you're backed by a Beyonce, you know, are you gonna allow something that you've put your name on to fail?
I hope not.
I couldn't imagine being like, okay, well, that's a failure. No, it's like, I'm going to make this thing win. And all right, we need to bring in some heavy hitters in design to revamp this. We need to get in, like, really kind of focus in on what our story is.
Or maybe it's hair care is not the place for her to be just because that's where everyone else is. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, like, the reason why Fenty was the first for all inclusive brand, right? So it wasn't necessarily about Black excellence or anything like that. And Beyonce's brand technically isn't about that either. But like they were one of the first ones and they had the first mover advantage. They created a new standard, new category. Sacred is entering it's entering a different phase of the category. It's very saturated. This is not new news anymore. Right. So anything that you're releasing that's new and shiny is like barely, you know, making about the fold at this point. So they have to do more.
Excellent. We'll leave it there. Vinette, thank you so much. This has been a great episode. I appreciate it. I love kind of getting into packaging, getting the strategy and kind of just the consumer perspective as well. I will say, you know, I'm obviously not Black. And neither are you. So,
no.
but as consumers and creatives, you definitely have an opinion on things. And it's like, here's kind of how we're seeing it. Here's what some hits, some misses, and maybe some ways that this can be improved. And if you're a startup out there and you're looking to launch something, these are things you have to think about. You know, you can't just launch.
If you're a startup out there, like, just do your due diligence of talking to the right people. Like, it's so easy to like just like find your right segments, talk to like 2 to 3 people per segment. And you know, when you're on the right track, I always say that's like the first person you talk to. Oh my God, completely new information. Like, go in as an objective detective. Like, you know nothing. Even if you're Black yourself or whatever it is, like, you just need to go in going, I know nothing. And you are here to learn and be a sponge. And that is your job, right? Especially when you're doing these interviews. First one, know nothing, soak it in on the sponges, all that kind of stuff. Second person that you talk to, they should be saying about, you know, maybe like 50-75% of the same things as the first person and reinforcing, and that's when you know you're on the right track. The themes are coming up and you're maybe learning slightly like less new things. And I like to say, like, by the third and fourth one, like, you should be kind of like bored out of your mind, right? Because they're saying the same stuff, right? Yeah. And that's when you know you have the right track and the right themes. So, like, we're saying all of this, right? Like, you know, very, like, a disclaimer. You're both not Black, right? Like, we are not a Black consumer. Like, I'm just speaking from talking to actual Black consumers and Black people and working Black founders and Black brands. And, like, this is what we're seeing. And it's kind of our responsibility for all of us to create a new generation of brands to, like, kind of move society and culture forward and change that conversation. So